News Talk 1620 WTAW. The Bryan City Council spent almost 1.5 hours last night addressing recommendations made by their Charter Review Advisory Committee. The council voted 5-1 to accept all the committee's recommendations. That includes bringing 13 proposed changes to Bryan voters this November and not supporting any of the 10 proposals that are part of a petition campaign by the Bryan New Directions Political Action Committee. A copy of the Charter Committee's 74-page report's online at WTAW.com. In our limited time, you'll hear comments from committee member Sonny Lyles about two of the 13 proposed changes that voters will consider in November. One calls for the council meeting a maximum of once a month, and the council setting the format for their meeting.
The charter should be the floor, and the council should be able to do as much as they want. And so the floor should be one, according to our committee. And the reason being is there are times, sometimes, where you might have a big agenda, let's just say early part of the month, and some other things are percolating. You really don't need to meet until maybe the next month, right? And then that next month, you might need to meet three times. Well, to force everybody to show up for every twice a month, whether you need it or not, we think is makes the council inflexible. And it doesn't allow you to meet what you should do.
Another proposal calls for the council requiring only one reading of proposed ordinances on most subjects instead of two, something that's been done since 1913.
I know this is a topic that we all considered and talked about for a long time. It's reflected in the notes. We know that the more or less, either by practice, it has been that ordinances would be read twice. I think everybody that's been involved with municipal law just knows that happens. One of our tasks, of course, was going through the charter and see if any amendments made sense, would more accurately reflect what the law is. And what we found is that state law does not require ordinances to be read more than once. State law does require reading of ordinances for certain specifics, like an increase in taxes, which is certainly important and would take two readings. Also, if you have to read it more than once, as a consensus of the committee, it's restrictive for city councils. If you're trying to be flexible and responsible to a specific act that's not technically emergency status, then you're still going to be hampered by the two readings. So since state law does not require that it be read more than once for certain type of actions, then our suggestion is that for ordinances that the readings only happen once. That's our suggestion. If that suggestion is something that the city council can support, what it does is it makes us more in line with state law. For a home rule city, it's not necessarily appropriate for a home rule city to make that requirement. And it certainly gives you an ability, a flexible ability, to respond in almost in any manner that you need to and as fast as you need to.
After Lyles reviewed the Charter Committee's recommendations, he recapped why they did not support any of the proposals from the New Directions PAC and how the charter group looked into blocking any illegal petitions before the November election.
But I do want to bring to the council the same questions that was asked when we concluded, and I think Kenny led the discussion, and it came up with the Planning and Zoning, it came up with the Bryan Business Council, and it might be in your minds. One of the things that we thought from a standpoint of effort of a city staff, cost of elections, whether or not the petition laws requested, required, before they got presented for any reason, that they be reviewed by city attorneys, council, or that there be some manner to determine whether or not they were legal, valid, appropriate, before being presented to the voters. It seemed like that would make common sense to a degree. But the petition laws of the state of Texas do not require that. So that in the event that something were to get passed that was illegal on its face or from its inception, Mr. Borraquez assured us that the state law is you deal with it then. If it's not valid, it's not valid. It just gets stuck in your charter and you have to clean it up later. But I think from our advisory committee standpoint, it just seemed like some common sense, some practicalities before we present things to the voters might give consideration for the strain, the burden, the costs of presenting those to a public or a populace if they're not going to be valid when they get voted on anyway, because I think that's it's not the message that you want to give the voters, I don't think, and I don't think that it's something that couldn't be addressed. But what we found out was for any proponent of petitions, that's their petition. State law makes it wide open, and you can propose whatever you want to. If you get enough signatures, you can get it to a vote. It's just not going to be valid in all cases. We were just hoping there might be a way to kind of make these read a little better before they got presented to the public, but that's up to the proponent of any petition.
Councilman Mike Sutherland, who voted no last night, is also a member of the New Directions PAC.
The charter petition was developed over about a six-month period, speaking with 150 different citizens about what they had issues with for the city, after they've already asked the city to help them correct some of these issues. And that was vetted by four different meetings, and many, many people had input. The 150, I think, is what it was that had input on it, was criticized. And so that was brought forth by the citizens, not me. Probably if I'd have done it myself, I'd have probably had a $2,000 pay raise for everybody. But this was about what the citizens wanted. And I don't know, there's no process outside of what we're doing here to get that in the system to try to get some visibility, because we bring it to the council and it has no visibility. So the charter is the way that's done.
The chairman of the charter committee, Tim Bryan, responded to Sutherland's comments.
I gather from the discussion that Councilman Sutherland is part and parcel of some of the proposed amendments. Many of them are not really bad ideas. For instance, limiting unrelated members of a household. I kind of agree with that, especially for the subdivisions that are close to the university. It's a problem, and it degrades the subdivision. Having a here citizens meeting period at 6 o'clock, so that people who have full-time jobs can get up here and make their wishes and opinions known, I think is important. But those are decisions that the council needs to make. We have a representative form of government, and those are decisions that the council needs to figure out how they want to govern themselves, not to queer up the constitution of the city with a bunch of directives on how it's going to treat its assets, or when it's going to meet, or who's going to be able to talk and when. And that's essentially what many of the amendments do, some of which I agree with in principle, but not personally. I haven't polled the other committee members, but it doesn't belong in the city charter.
The seven-member charter committee was assisted by an Austin lawyer hired by the city. Alan Borquez was asked about the city's legal costs if voters approve any of at least four proposals sought by the New Directions PAC.
You know, what's at risk for the city from a cost to defend and fight the 1, 2, 9, and 10, at least the ones that are shown as unlawful, unenforceable, and inappropriate?
Mayor and Council, it's Alan Borquez, and it's difficult to answer that question with specificity. Anyone who's been involved with litigation knows they're strange beasts. You could pick any particular one, maybe the one that would preclude more than two unrelated people to occupy one house. If that were to receive a legal challenge, likely challenges would be brought under federal law, either the Rehabilitation Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the Fair Housing Act. Those sorts of cases, which I've been through elsewhere, are very intensive when it comes to developing their record. You hire economists, you hire experts, you get into a lot of demographic work. That's a $50,000 to $125,000 lawsuit just on the basics of litigation. That's the trial work. Any appellate work would be in addition to that. And if you were to be on the losing end, then I think the damages could be significant, and paying the other side's legal fees is significant.
Again, a copy of the 74-page Charter Advisory Committee report approved by the Bryan City Council is online at WTAW.com. This is News Talk 1620 WTAW.